Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's put our hands together and invite Reverend YC for today's message.
Good afternoon, church. We know that in the teaching or in the truth or of the church and in Christianity, there are a few tenets and core belief or value that we hold at the uppermost level. First is grace. We know that we are saved by grace. And the second is love, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. And the third is redemption or forgiveness. And these are the three things that God expects, or rather through his own spirit and his rebirth in our life, will be manifested in our conversion and in our continuous walking our life with him in this process of sanctification that he's doing in us from inside out. So today we're going to talk about this topic of offense and forgiveness. Just one verse that we have just read. Offense is commonplace. Offense is a common experience of human life. As long as you live on earth, you will not be able to avoid offense. You can be the offender, and all of us has been and guilty of that. And all of us has also, on the receiving end of it, we are being offended. So today we want to talk about the weight that we carry and also the freedom that we could choose. First, we talk about the anatomy of offense. The anatomy of offense is a term used in the law whereby you need to establish the case of offense, whether the intent, the physical evidence, and this and that. But how does offense come about? How does it look like, and how did it happen? So basically, it is what we're going to talk about. To understand what is offense first. Just imagine, okay, someone left you on read for 3 days in a message, and you know that they were online, actually, because they just updated their IG story an hour ago. So sure, right? They have time to post their story, but no time to answer you. And you feel offended by your friend. And then you find out from the social media posts by your buddies, you know, that they went for a game or they went for a tour and they never cheer you. So you didn't know about it. They never invited you. And the third thing that can be just around the CNY dinner, you know, people make comment about, insensitive comment. Huh, you still single, huh? When are you going to have baby, huh? Or, you know, how's your grade? Which school you go to? Insensitive comment, and you take offense of that. And it could be even professionally when you're working, you know, your boss, you know, kind of pointed out your mistake, offended you in a group chat rather than privately telling you what's wrong. So you realize that all this, you know, kind of, you take offense of it. But the fact is that no one go hospital, right? But somehow this thing stays with us. It sits inside us, and it can sit in us for a long, long time. So let's look at this paper trail to freedom. Okay, how do we get ourselves into this? How do we get out of it? Okay, the first thing is that, you know, when first thing happened, normally we'll replay this in our mind, you know, over and over again. Okay? You try to replay the voice, you know. This guy never, you know, I have time to update the IG story, no time to answer me. So you just want to replay this, and what is he thinking about? And then you try to, you know, send a message, you know, typing, can we talk? Then erase it, then can we talk? And erase it many times and don't know what to do. So there's a frustration that in you. But after a while, you begin to think that, you know, okay, that since it's like that, then maybe slowly and probably, you know, in a very unconscious, subconscious way, and you begin to withdraw from this group of people. So without deciding, actually, you actually build a wall slowly, small, quietly, but this wall is getting more and more solid as the day goes by and become a stone wall within you and the other person. Now, this is how offense can really affect our life. So what does this wall have to do with your relationship with God? You say this has to do with relationship with God. I love God. I come to church. I worship. I serve in the music ministry. You know, it's only my friend one. So we tend to compartmentalize our faith and our belief, our value. Say that, no, I can love God, but these people is very hard to love. No, I can be very cooperative in a teamwork in the church because we, you know, we love one another, we serve God. But then very hard, you know, to work with my teammate in church, in school, or in a project team in NS or in my workplace. So what does this wall have to do with your relationship with God? Now, first, we have to understand why is Jesus talking about the forgiveness here. Mark 11:25 appear in a very strange area. Huh? This particular verse appear that we expect it. Why Jesus talk about suddenly talk about such thing? It come right after, you know, the passage whereby Jesus cursed the fig tree. So Jesus went to Jerusalem. So the one day he looked at the cursed tree, tried to look for something to eat. Nothing was there, just a lot of leaves. And then Jesus cursed it. And next morning they passed by the same way and realized that the fig tree was dead, withered from the roots up. And then the disciple said, wow, powerful man, Jesus, you curse. Teacher, you look at it. No, yesterday you cursed the fig tree, today it's dead. Then Jesus took the opportunity to teach them about prayer, the power of prayer. In faith, you know, if you believe, if only you believe, you can ask the mountain to be thrown into the sea and it will be done. Whatever you think you ask in faith, you will receive it. Then Jesus talked about and hype up all this prayer thing. And then suddenly, there's a change in his tone. And then suddenly, he talked about forgiveness, you see. So, in other words, before that, Jesus was expecting his follower to bear fruit. Don't be like the barren fig tree. And the second thing, he teaches that prayer is powerful. You know, and ask boldly and believe God to receive it. And immediately, he qualified that with this 11:25, this verse, and says that, but when you pray, deal with your unforgiveness first. In other words, right after Jesus had all these disciples about the big mountain-moving prayer, and what Jesus is doing, that he pulled them back to something very unglamorous, something very personal. Basically asking them, who are you still holding something against? Who are you still holding something against? Is there anyone, anything in your life that you're still holding on something against this person? The word forgiveness, the root word meaning of it is to send away. To forgive you, to send away. Send away your bitterness, send away your bad feeling, to send away or to leave or to forsake or to abandon. It's a very strong word of sending away. So Jesus is telling us that what? The spiritual power. Okay, that is the context. So the spiritual power is actually depend on what? If you look at here, it says that spiritual power is an inextricable link to the interpersonal forgiveness. You cannot compartmentalize your walk with God from the person you can't stand. This is something that probably some of us, we are struggling with. It's easy to love God, but it's hard to love people. It's easy to listen to God, but it's hard to listen to people. It's more easy to pour out myself to God than pour out myself to people, right? And these are our common experience. And often in that situation, in many situations, we somehow take offense and offended someone. So the first thing we want to do is that, how do we get ourselves freedom? So how does this offended kind of mentality and, you know, in our psychic that affects our relationship with God? So as I say that early on, the offender offended you, probably some of them without knowing that they have offended you. And if you do not treat it in a way that you should, then you begin to build up this stone wall. It's quite common. Right, so you will not kind of defriend this person or disappear from his social group. You probably will not do that, but you just probably the number of posts that you post reduces. You used to post a lot, and always time he says something, you answer. Now more quiet. Okay, that is how it is. So what happened is that the relationship we have with other people actually affects our relationship with God. in prayer. So it's just like unforgiveness, like it's put a static on the line. You know what static on the line, right? So sometimes, you know, like even in mind wireless communication, when there are statics, then you know, then you will have miscommunication. You will not be clear. So unforgiveness actually put the static on the line that we have with God. Supposed to be a true, unclogged, pure line, high fidelity. But now it is being contaminated by static. It's as good that when you have a group project, teammate, you know, and in an NS assignment or whatever, you realize that, you know, you still have the same team. You're still on the same team, right? You say that technically you're still on the team, but what is the difference? The change is that the flow is actually broken, right? Everything become a bit stiffer, a bit more guarded, a bit more slower. Then people are tend to less open about it. Anybody have a view? Nobody want to say anything. And that is one of the signs. Now, when you ask opinion, nobody wants to say anything. That's probably there's a static already existed. So this is what it is. Okay, for that, we have to understand, to overcome this, we have to come to this grace equation. Okay, this grace equation basically tells us that forgiveness is not optional or extra credit. Forgiveness is not optional. It's not something that you choose, you know, it's like, I can have it, I don't, I also can not to have it. I mean, in other words, I can forgive or I don't need forgiveness or no need to forgive others. So it is a person who truly tasted, who truly received God's grace and their life being transformed, this person cannot hold on to a lifestyle of bitterness against others. Look at Matthew chapter 18, talking about the parable of this terrible servant. The servant owed the master a lot of money. You know, in current term, it can close to $10 million. Okay, $10 million. Imagine you owe someone $10 million. It had definitely, this person is beyond his lifetime to pay back. He is not afford to able to pay back. So he begged his master, said, please forgive me. No, please, you know, do not take away my wife, my children. Then he cried and cried and cried. Okay, then he touched the heart of the master. The master said, okay, fine. I forgive you. I release you from this debt. But when this servant went out and looked, and he happened to bump into his friend who owed him $2,000. Imagine $2,000 versus $10 million. And then he choked his neck and said that, no, unless you pay me back my $2,000, I'm going to put you in jail. And then the people around him, his friend, they look at him, hey, something wrong with you, right? You just received a great pardon from your master. Can't you be more gracious to others? Now, if you really understand that, what kind of great pardon you receive from God? So if your friend have offended, does it add up to the 2,000? But the 10 million that you owe is what you're actually being forgiven. So in other words, God is telling us that I have forgiven you 10 million. Do you have the grace to forgive 2,000? God is not asking us to forgive 10 million. Only He can do that. So we realize that this parable actually kind of helps us understand. That's why I say that when you truly tasted the grace of God, this person cannot continue to live a lifestyle of anger, of bitterness, hatred against another human being. Unless this person is a very evil person. Normally, in our social life, in our life, you will not. So if somebody continues to do that, you have a friend of so-called Christian friend that like that, you know that something is wrong with this person. Either he believes in the wrong gospel or I don't know what he's believing. Something is definitely wrong in his life. It cannot be like that. All right, so this is what the parable told us about. So basically, we have an unpayable debt, which is forgiven by God. And then we have this offense against us, which is relatively comparable, is incomparable. $10 million versus $2,000. Which one would you want to choose? You want to be forgiven $10 million or you want to be forgiven $2,000? But God is asking us only for the $2,000 forgiveness against your brother and your sister, your friends, your colleagues, your boss. That is what God is asking. The grace equations. If we pray that the Spirit really put in our heart and let us be convicted of this. Sometimes we just know it, but we don't feel that much. So when we come to our decision whether to forgive, not to forgive, we think we are optional. That's why I say that it is not an optional extra credit that you give to others. It is something that's accordance to what God has given us. And it is only appropriate that we do that. Okay? So let's compare the myth and the reality. In this world, there will be many voices, there will be many noises, and their ideology, their psychology idea that tell you what human beings are supposed to be. But let's kind of put it side by side with reality. Sometimes they tell you that, you know, how you cannot just forgive, you know. Why you cannot forgive? Because I don't feel like. So I have to wait for the feeling to come. So wait until you feel ready. Let me ask you, when can you feel ready? When? How? If somebody offended you, you're so angry and you're so hurt, when will this anger and hurt go away? If you don't do anything of it, you don't forgive this person, tell me how? By drinking beer? By watching Netflix? What can you do? It doesn't. You realize that it doesn't. So you don't wait. So this is a lie. This is a myth. So you do not wait until you feel ready. But the biblical context tells us that a choice of the will. Remember, Jesus died on the cross while we're still sinners. Jesus doesn't die on the cross while we all repented and follow him and say we will be martyred with Jesus. And then you say, okay, good, 10,000 that follow me. Now it's worthwhile for me to go on the cross. I can save 10,000. Everybody deserted. Even the 12 disciples left him. Yet he died on the cross for us. So it's a choice of the will made in obedience before feeling arrive. So my dear brother and sister, don't wait for the feeling to arrive. It will never arrive. When you forgive, when with the act of will to forgive, you realize that after some time, your feeling will catch up. You will be liberated and your feeling can be revived again. The second is trust. Forgiving means immediate trust and no boundary. Is that true? We have forgive somebody means that I have to be as friendly as possible as before. It is not true. There are friendship, there are bonds that are very dear and intimate because of great trust and deep trust, confident in the one person. And then when this is broken, you cannot just patch up overnight. You need times. Sad to say that some of them never recover. Some of them never recover. They just move on in life their separate way and they never recover. Especially for husband and wife. Imagine if there's a third party in that relationship and the wife found out about it, but the wife just keep quiet and live on as it is? It will not. And even the husband come and say, oh, I'm sorry, why I'm sorry, you know, I'm seeing somebody outside, but I repented, lah. You know, I kind of cut it loose already. The wife say, oh, that's very good, let's have dinner now. You won't. It's something that's the trust that we entrusted to one another has been broken, or the vow has been broken. You find that it's very difficult, extremely difficult. Only can be by God's grace and the hard work of the both parties to come back together. So my dear brother, when people entrust you with a trust, sometimes the trust is given in terms of the position they are in. I'm being a pastor. You can be a cell group leader. Or you being a teacher in the school. Or you being a husband. You're being a wife. You're being somebody. So all of us have identity and a position. And that position have trust in it, isn't it? You cannot just squander that away. You squander that away through offense. You find that it's very hard to earn it back. You probably have to do a lot of work, multiple times of labor in order to gain back the little trust. So I pray that God will keep us from this slippery road, okay? So that we will not, as much as possible, not to offend, and we offend the people, we quickly say sorry, and then we reconcile with one another. The other third thing is acknowledgement. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you pretend that everything is okay. Hurt is hurt. Anger is anger. There's no two things about it. So you don't have to say that, I'm not angry, but your voice is so loud. your tone is so hard. You say, I'm not angry. You hear people like this. You know people like this. I mean, I got angry. Okay. Husband and wife, we used to know that. Within close proximity, you know, your sibling, we do that. We do, on one hand, we try not to show it, but actually we cannot hide it. So don't pretend. Don't pretend that it doesn't happen. It did happen. You were hurt. So acknowledge that you were hurt. And don't try to say that it's okay. Sometimes, you know, your friend, hey, so, 对不起, 没关系, 没关系. 真的是没关系吗? 有关系. 如果没关系就不用处理了, 你懂吗? If there's really nothing there, then why do we need to forgive? If there's nothing there, why should I go and ask for forgiveness? Definitely there's something there. So just acknowledge the presence of it. Acknowledge that, yes, I was offended. I feel hurt. You know? Just accept it. You cannot hide it, okay? So we need to name the exact cause. What is it, you know? Cannot say, you know, I just want to say something here. Often some of these things happen some time ago, and often some of these old hurts that we did not kind of deal with it, or at that time we probably don't know how to deal with it, and we carry it along. So time actually doesn't heal. Time doesn't heal our wounds and our hurts. I just shared in the first two services that throughout my whole life, I've been only slapped once. And the person who slapped me is my grandma. We were living in the terrace house in Malaysia. So we are not a rich family. We just managed to have a house. But just along the street, at the very end unit, is my classmate. They are quite well-to-do. His mother is a teacher. And his father is a boss of a furniture company. So in a small town in Malaysia, they are rich people. So they have friends, they have auntie that come from, you know, we stay in Perlis, so it's a very ulu place. So Penang is a big city. KL is a big city. You know, more modern, more richer. So on weekend, on holiday, you know, their brother, their cousin came and have a party in that place. So we all look at there over the fans, you know, wow, 流口水啊, Then I say something nasty about it, you know, because 里面很酸啊. You know, acknowledge it. So I didn't know that my grandma was next to me. And my grandma heard it and he was furious. He said, why are you saying such thing? And then without me even managed to siam, can I slap? That was only one time. So now, did I forget? I did not forget, no? That's why I can recount, I can even paint it out for you. So don't try to pretend that you forget the hurt. But the fact that when I recount this story again, it doesn't hurt me anymore. You see that? So the power of forgiveness is to release you. It's not make you, you know, forgetful. Dementia. No, God is not dementia. God does not forget what you have done. God choose not to remember. That's a word, proper translation. God choose not to remember, not that God forget. Okay? So, naming the exact cause, it is not okay. So for a period of time, I was very angry with my grandma. Why? You know, I did such a grave mistake that I deserve a slap. Maybe a few strokes of cane on the hand, good enough. Hey, hope you don't talk like that. Wow, like that. I think it would be. But it's none of me for me to judge, right? It's my grandma. So, but over the years, I begin to reconcile. So I still love my grandma. You know, she's a very humorous old lady. I love her. So even now I recount of him fondly. You know, it's not something that, you know, I hold grudge. Wow, you slapped me. You're the only person on earth that slapped me. No, I don't remember her that way. I remember her as a very fond and very funny, humorous grandma. So how do you do that? So when we talk about unforgiveness, it's as if that somebody, you know, like borrow from you $50, then never pay you back, probably forget about it. But you never forget the person owe you $50. No? And then, what do? On and off, you see this person, he remind you that this guy have owe you $50. But you don't want to say it out, you know, on and off, you kind of reminded. It's like you take out the IOU note and look at it. Each time you look at it, it kind of sting you a bit, $50. But remember, it's not just about $50. It's just about the money. It could be something, a hurt or offense, that because they excluded you in a chat. They did not cheer you. They forget that you are among them in the present. They just talk among their clique in a cell group. Then you just sit there listening to the talking. You can't even join the conversation. That kind of feeling. And each time you see them, they are one gang lah. I'm the outsider, even though my name is in that cell group. Maybe talk to Pastor Lee Kai, change the group, or whatever. You know, all these things start small. As I say, it starts small. But the stone boring can slowly build up without you even consciously making a decision to be at opposition of the other person. It just continue to grow in you. So it's dangerous. So forgiveness means what? You're just tearing away the note, releasing the right to make them pay. It's not that they are doing something right. They're doing something wrong and it hurts you. You say that I'm going to give up this right. I give it to God. I'm going to tear away the IOU. I don't expect the guy to pay me. But God, you know. So I give it in God's hands. So hand the debt over to God, the righteous judge, and instead of carrying it yourself. Don't always carry the IOU in your wallet. Tear it up and give it to God. So people say that unforgiveness is, you know, like drinking poison. You know? You heard of this. You drink poison and you hope the other party die. So there's the irony of the unforgiveness. Okay? So you are the one that are losing sleep. The person probably don't even remember of such incidents. I remember that once there was a member of the church, you know, who think that, you know, I have some issue. God has reminded me that, you know, I'm hurt, you know, that's why I cannot grow in my life. And then I want to settle it. I said, how you settle it? I remember 10 years ago, this particular pastor says something very nasty to me. Probably not very nasty, but to me, it's nasty, so I get offended. So I always don't like this pastor. Then the question is that, can you make an appointment with the pastor to come and say sorry to me? The pastor probably don't even recall which one, which year I've said such a thing. But to this person, he remember clearly, this is what actually he said 10 years ago. So it's not about asking people to come to say sorry so that you can be released of your burden of unforgiveness or bitterness. It is for you to let go. It is something like this. It's something like somebody is carrying a backpack. Unforgiveness, you're carrying the backpack. You know, after a while, you don't feel the backpack weight because it becomes part of you. It's a part of your weight. But because of the burden, it will affect your spine. It will slow down your speed. It will make you more tired easily without you knowing. That's the thing. So offense can grow in your life without you even noticing it. And then you're just wondering, 为什么我打不起精神?为什么我的心情一直不好? No, why I cannot do? And you cannot, don't know what's going wrong in your life. And often, this could be one of the reasons. You have been carrying offenses in your life without you even knowing it. So the bottom line is that Jesus wants your joy unblocked. He wants our prayer to be unclogged, you know, so that we can have the true, straight communication with God without any contamination. So the thing standing in the way isn't a lack of faith. It's a grudge. Often we say the prayer, the next thing we talk about is faith. Not very a faith in prayer. But here Jesus said, oh, beside faith, there's more important thing. This is grudge. So when you stand praying, if you remember anyone who offended you, forgive them so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. You remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. One of the phrases that says, forgive us our debt just as we have forgiven our debtors. What does the meaning? You know what you're praying? This is not the prayer of Jesus, by the way, okay? This is the disciple asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So Jesus teach them to pray. This is one of the models. So it's for the disciples to pray to God, not for Jesus to pray to God that prayer, okay? It's the disciples' prayer to God. So we say, 主祷文, the Lord's Prayer, actually it's more like the disciples' prayer, okay? So one of the lines says that, forgive us our debt just as we have forgiven our debtors. You know what you're telling God? Say, God, how much you forgive me. No, you forgive me as much as I forgive others. Right? So in other words, if I don't forgive others, Father, you please don't forgive me. This is what you're telling God, you know that? Forgive me just as I forgive my debtors. So if I don't forgive them, you don't forgive me. Do unto me what I do unto others. This is what you're telling God in that prayer. It is like that. Now, why is it that God put it in such a strict form? As I say that, a person who truly tastes of the grace and the forgiveness of God cannot, absolutely cannot continue a lifestyle of bitterness and anger against another brother and sisters. Your neighbors cannot. Something is absolutely wrong. So God put it so naturally, as if that is something, that equation that we can exchange forgiveness with God. If we do a good thing, then God forgive me. It doesn't work that way. That's not the gospel of grace. So the key point here is that God sees it very important. It's not just God forgives you. God wants to see that you forgive your brother and sister. Forgive those who offended you. So how do we, remember this one. So how do we do about it? You know? What do we actually do with this? I'll give you a simple rule or simple step so that you could follow. Okay, first order, name it. Second, bring it to God. Third, choose to release. And fourth, decide wisely what's next. Okay, let's start with step one. Okay, how to release your unforgiven, your grievances. So vague hurt cannot be healed. You have to name the hurt. Okay, you go to any other counseling session, they will tell you, you must name it. Are you angry? You feel hurt, you feel despised, you feel you are being humiliated, you feel shame, you feel fearful, you feel small. What do you feel? You have to say that. Don't say, do not say, I'm annoyed at people sometimes. It's very vague. What would you mean annoyed by people? Is that music too loud? Or because of people's way of speaking or before the music or what? So do not say, I'm annoyed at people sometimes, but rather you say, I'm haven't forgiven my dad for what he said. Or I'm hurt. My friend spread the rumor. I'm hurt because my friend spread the rumor, which is not true. Right? So to name it, the next thing you want to do is to bring it to God. So tell God exactly how he hurt. Say, God, I feel very hurt when my friend spread the rumor. I feel so bad. How can my friend betray me? I feel betrayed. Oh, I tell him the secret. How can he go and tell anybody? And then he add a lot of things that is not true. God, I'm hurt. Right? So tell God exactly how he hurt. He is not shocked by your honesty. Okay, that's a good thing. Huh? You tell people got shocked. Or some people can belittle your feeling. Are you like that? Also cry. So much matter. Lah. Let me tell you my story. Wow, bigger matters. No, don't do that. Tell it to God. So I always say that this kind of thing, bring it to God. Read about the brutal honesty of David, Psalm 51 and other. God is not shocked with it. God is so big, he is not shocked with it. But sometimes we have to, you know, be more wise. You don't have to tell somebody everything in your life, but you ought to tell God. So we call for wisdom and prudence sometimes for us. Otherwise, sometimes you get hurt. You tell people, then people go and say, people say, yeah, I promise. Yeah, he really promised you at the time, you know, but he just forget. The next day, then in conversation, casual conversation, and then word slips out. Then people say, huh, really? Yeah? Then this one, wow, this one very tasty morsel, then going to pass on to another person to eat. So ask God to help you to release the debt to him instead of carrying it yourself. Okay, the third is choose to release. This is the way I say that forgiveness is not a feeling. Don't wait for the feeling to come. God said that if you thought of somebody who have offended you, forgive. It's a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Forgive so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. Say it out loud. Say, Lord, I release so and so, okay, from what they owe me. What they have done to me, I'm handling this to you. Also a note, sometimes forgiveness is just not a switch that you just turn on and off. Often you have to do it again and again, especially when you have deep hurt. You have to forgive your father, not just one time. That's why, you know, Jesus told the disciples say, hey, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times. How many times you forgive your parents? Hey, you. 7 times? More than that. Parents, how many times you forgive your children? 70 times 7 times? Huh?
Always.
Always? Wow! Oh. Okay, good. Always. Yeah. Right? Always. Because sometimes when you wait for the feeling, you probably don't want, but you will. But for, you know, sometimes between even, you know, within the siblings and within the family members, because we're so close, there's a lot of abrasion sometimes. So, sometimes there are misunderstandings, sometimes there are expectations that's not met. So there are a lot of these kind of things that's going on. So be ready, okay? Sometimes it may take a little bit of time, but you must decide. Say, I want to forgive. So God, help me to do that. So sometimes you have to forgive again and again, okay? So the fourth one is decide wisely. I say that forgiving doesn't mean that you restore to the intimate relationship once before. It's very difficult to do that. Especially you have good friends that have been like you're 25 years, you know this person 25 years, that kind of thing, you know? You know, when his parents and conceive, the parent conceive him, your parent also conceive you. So you are both born in agape, grow in agape. That kind of thing, you know. Agape 30 years old, you're also 30 years old. That kind of thing. So you find that it very difficult. So when the person did something that, you know, kind of hurts you, betray, especially betrayer, it's very tough to kind of reconcile to other. But you must choose to release the person. You must choose to forgive the person. But that doesn't mean that you were able to immediately trust the person. As I say, if somebody borrowed $50 and you give the IOU note, and then you forgive the person, and then tomorrow, 1 week later, he said, can I borrow $500? Will you lend it to him? Will you? You won't, right? I think a prudent person probably will not do that, because $50 you won't pay, $500, I don't think you will pay, you know, hard-earned money. So you won't. So the officially intimate relationship, I say that officially husband and wife kind of relationship is very, very sensitive and is very, very intimate. So once the trust is broken, it's very costly, or sometimes it's almost impossible in a human effort to restore that. Chinese are saying, 叫做破镜难圆, a broken mirror is very hard to put together in pieces. Sometimes it is true, okay? We pray that no, we don't have to go to that stage, okay? So for our audience today, for those secondary, tertiary, what is that thing that, you know, that you can learn? First, maybe in a friend drama, sibling dispute, they wear your clothes without asking you, then wear already, never wash, never put back in the wardrobe. Then group chat, they left you out, excluded you, you know. You may feel that the stake is high. You know, they don't cheer you going some fun activities. But put it in a perspective, they are still small, okay? They are smaller now. So it helps you to learn. You don't know how to forgive about the little thing. You don't know how to forgive a bigger thing. As I always teach my children, I say when you are young, learn how to give tithes, the 10%. Let's say your pocket money, one day, let's say $1. 5 days is $5. Okay, your parent very generous, give you 7 days. Saturday, Sunday also give you, okay? $7. So $7 will be 70 cents a day. So come to Sunday school, you give 70 cents. Okay? You say, oh, 70 cents a lot. Very little, right? But today may be a lot at the time. But you don't practice that. When you come out from NUS, your pay is $5,000. What's 10% of $5,000? I certainly don't know. Nobody knows best. $500. What is $500 compared to 70 cents? Huge difference. 2 million and 2,000. You know, that kind of thing. But if you don't practice it as a habit, and know that this, I don't owe it to God, but I owe everything to God. You think of it this way. Tithing is not that God is asking for 10%. Tithing is I'm giving back to God what God has given me. Remember, God gives you everything. And thank God he only asked for 10%. He didn't ask for the 90%. And then you keep the 10%. You think of it that way, everything that you have, if you can commit your life to him, what's the 10% of your income? So practice that so that train out your spiritual muscle. So for those young adults, you're working office politics, broken trust, somebody, good friend ghosted on you. If unaddressed, this thing will continue to grow in you, right? Quietly, you become more guarded, and then you become a cynical old man next time. Have you come across cynical old men? Old people tend to be, some of them very happy, some of them can be very cynical. Everything they cannot trust. Very cynical. Why? Because of the untreated or unattended to offenses accumulated over life. So it makes this person doesn't become cynical over days, it's over years. Offense after offense that never being addressed. So bring it to the Lord. Let today be the day you become lighter, not harder. Let your heart be lighter, not harder against the other person. So, last question. Is there a name that comes to mind when you hear the word forgiveness? Is there any name comes into mind? If there is, it is not a coincidence. There's the Holy Spirit pointing to the exact backpack that he wants you to put down. all of us have been offended before. And all of us have offended someone before. For those that were offended, we ask, maybe you should go and ask for forgiveness. And for those that are being offended, whether the person remember, don't remember, come to you, don't come to you, to ask for forgiveness, you decide today that I'm going to release it to the Lord so that my heart can be lighter, not harder for Him. Let's pray. And the time we invite the worship team to come forward. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for you have really, Lord, by your own life example, you show us how you forgive us. Even such a great debt, such a great offense that we have committed. But Lord, that you so choose to love us that you forgive us. So we pray that, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, you pour forth the forgiving love of our Father into our heart. That from our heart, Lord, that we will forgive those that have offended us. That we will not hold against them. But we release this right of justice into your hand. To know that, Lord, that you are the true righteous judge who will judge rightly. So we pray for each one of us, Lord, that you will heal our hurt. You will comfort us, give us strength to continue to build trust and help us to watch over our mouth and action that we will not offend others. But if offense does come, help us, Lord, to quickly ask for forgiveness, to reconcile the relationship and to forgive others and to forgive ourselves before you. So this is our prayer, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all